T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And good evening and welcome to Sports Talk. I'm Deke Bellavia, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Coming up on today's program, Saints sideline reporter Christian Carrick will be with us to give us the report on today's practice. Paul Vascaro will be with us, executive director at Team Gleason. This tonight there is a special preview, a premiere of Gleason. And it's going to be very interesting because a lot of the Saints are involved, and particularly going there. Bobby will be going there later this evening there as well. So a lot to get to. And in the 7 o'clock hour, all NFL talk with NFL analyst Mike Dettillier. We'll get Mike's take on today's Saints practice at minicamp. And also we'll get Mike's take on looking ahead to 2017, the NFL draft, what is available. The numbers to get involved are 504-260-1870. You can text us at 870-870. Our Peretti Jaguar opinion poll is up at WWL.com. At the end of practice today, the black and gold, well, they worked in on Coach Payton, yelled out several situations with the game on the line. One of them was the Saints were ahead by 6. The opposing team had the football in between the Saints' 30 and 40-yard line going in, and Coach Payton said 3 seconds left. And he said, you know what that means? They're going to the end zone. So we're asking you, with the game on the line, do you have faith that this year's Saints defense can keep the opposing team out of the end zone? You can cast your vote online at WWL.com. Bobby, a lot of things to get to. Of course, we'll get knee-deep in your breakdown in a few moments. But, going inside after being outside, the weather forces inside, toward the end of practice, I don't know if that was so much on the script, but that was a few plays that Coach Payton wanted to work on to see how the defense responded. And then one of those ones at the end, I said we were up by 6 was a scenario with 3 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah, Deke, what Coach Payton tries to do is and it works for offense and defense, put them in situational football where it's something that realistically can happen in a game, down in distance, what's on the line, and then see who responds, who wins. It's all about competition. And when you look at it, I thought it was a scenario, and I asked Coach Payton about it, and it's a great teaching aspect or a teaching film. And what I mean by that is all of a sudden you have a play, and what you're running is, okay, how are you going to attack the defense? Because they know you're going in the end zone. And then how, the defense is going to try and keep you from scoring. All they got to do is keep you, in the front. Now, I can tell you there was a scenario, and it was bad for the offense and the defense. Because Drew Brees has been unbelievably accurate. Well, he was so mad at himself because he had Coleman. It would have been a 20-yard touchdown. And they ran kind of a downfield pick play or a rub. Coleman was wide open and Drew overthrew him. And Drew was so mad at himself the very next play, he had Brandon Cooks. Now, I don't know who was guarding Brandon Cooks. I think there wasn't even nobody even on him. And he had 1 foot in. I don't think he had 2 feet in, so it wouldn't have counted. And Drew missed him again. But the point I'm making here, the second was definitely like a busted coverage. What they're going to do is they're going to go and they throw a lot of the players. They're going to go in the meeting room, and they're going to break this down. And there's going to come a situation. I don't think it necessarily be the next 2 days, but come West Virginia, come sometime in August in training camp, it'll be the same type scenario. And Coach Payton and the whole coaching staff, defensive coaches, offensive coaches, they're going to see what you retain. And they want
to
see.
That's why I say, like, at the end, I know that, you want to, whatever you got to do to keep them out. But it's almost like the way coaches bring it down is like, hey, let's be sure we think. Let's be sure we think about what's going on. We're up by 6. We're up by 6. There's 3 seconds left. Just do whatever you got to do to keep them out the end zone.
Make sure you think. Perfect example was, to me, that's not being a smart football player, P-Rob. Patrick Robinson, you remember Cincinnati Bengals? It was like 3rd and 18.
Oh, yeah.
And you have no safety help behind you, and you're going to go play bump and run against A.J. Green?
And got killed.
And then we gave up a first down.
Yeah, gave up 22 yards.
That's when you have to know down in distance, all of that, where the coach is not always having to tell you, be a smart football player. We'll make him throw it in front of the sticks. Now, you guys still got to make the tackle, maybe. But I mean, Dick, I can tell you right now, when I seen that, you know, the Bengals, now, Pete Rob was with the Chargers. He's not even here no more. Mm-hmm. But when I seen that play, I said, well, that's where he's throwing it. You know, I don't know if they're going to be successful, but
right.
Andy Dalton and A.J. Green, they're amongst the best, and he dropped it right in there and got a first down. You know, those are the kind of things that you just stop a drive. And what are you doing on third down?
Right, yeah.
You know, so all those little things, they're going over right now. But I could tell you, now we dealt with the rain, but this, I don't know, mini camp practice, I had more highlights and probably – the first two or three OTAs.
All right.
As far as compared to what I've seen out there today.
Coming up next, Bobby will open up his notes and we'll get today's practice breakdown. The Black and Gold, day one of minicamp in the books. We'll rehash it for you next here. And later in the program, we'll hear what Saints coach Sean Payton had to say among and some other players also here on WWL. All right, here we go. It's a daily routine during camp, and this is first day of minicamp. The Cajun Cannon takes us through his notes. Cajun Cannon, Saints minicamp. Started off on the field at 11 o'clock, overcast skies. We were later forced inside, but a little over three quarters of practice was complete outside.
Yeah, and what they basically did inside, pace offense, there's a special teams drill, but all of 2 minutes. So they had a lot of work, quality work that got done once they went inside. You know, usually it's about OTA is about 4 pages of notes.
Mm-hmm. You got way more than
I
that
got
today.
Seven. Yeah. I got seven. So I'm probably can do about half of it now because you know I can get long winded. But looking at how it started, and it was kind of ho hum at the beginning. They were doing a team period, but it's mostly run. But then the linemen don't have pads. The running backs, you know, you could see how their vision, their cut. For instance, Hightower had nice vision, +8 on an outside run. Marcus Murphy, he had a play, ran between the tackles, looked like it had been a 6-yard gain. But to show you, I kind of wanted to highlight that first team period. It was McCown to Bazile.
Mm-hmm.
Number 49, look, he ain't even on the roster.
Yeah.
Or, you know, two people have – that's the kid from Grambling.
Yeah, that was a field on the further side where the fans were.
It would have been a 25-yard gain. But that just goes to show you how some of these, you know, reps they take, it might be ho-hum.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how it started. I thought four back, then they did a kick in
yep.
You know, they kicked from 34
field
yards,
goal.
40 yards, 48, 52. Four bad struggle today. He had one shank that we've already seen in the Superdome, so we don't need to see any more shank field goals. Where I think right now, Deke, I don't know the way both kickers are kicking. I don't know if the kicker's on the roster. I'm just telling you. Who's the guy we let go to the Redskins? Dustin Hopkins.
Hopkins, yes.
Well, when he was trying out and trying to make the team. And did we make the right decision in hindsight and say no?
Well, if you went by kicks, it was pretty dead even.
Right. Well, I think Hopkins is better than both of the kickers we have now competing. So we have to wait to see what's going to happen. Drew still, you know, Fleener's feeling his way in. Now, they started a 7-on-7 period. That's without the linemen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, linebackers, defensive back against the skilled offensive players. They call it 7-on-7 and a skeleton drill, same thing, but – Drew's utilizing Josh Hill as much as even Fleener. Like, he had a nice throw, Drew, in the seam to Josh Hill, +20-yard gain. And while that was going on, now we haven't seen this yet, the offensive and defensive line, but I don't think you can get too much out of it. Now, they were going quick pace and I don't know if you could say full speed, but it wasn't no walkthrough. They were somewhat, I'd say, competing without shoulder pads. And what they were doing was pass protection. But for the offense and the defense, they're working on stunts. So it was like 2-on-2. So the left side of the ball or the right side of the ball.
Right.
So it was like a combination type, working one another side by side, offensive lineman, then also defensive lineman, working, trying to do a stunt. So that was going on. But I don't really judge that until they put the pads on. That's
right.
The closer you're going to get to the game.
In that team period, with basically, it's not inside drill, but they're working on inside running. Like Hokie said, it's just so hard.
Yeah,
you know, it's just so hard because even out there, even okay, they're not tackling. I mean, they're what they call waist up when they are in full gear. But you can get more of a sense, like at the impact, if it's going to be 2 yards or 3 yards more. So like everything today looks like, oh, well, that would have been a 5 yard gain. That would have been a 6 yard gain. That's not the case when they got the pads on.
Yeah, and unless a guy just is gash or just hits the hole and no one's holding him up because, you see the defense, they'll do a running play. For instance, a team. And it looks like about five or six guys just holding all each other. Well, then you look like, well, they held the running back up, and there was nowhere to go. But truly, when you're looking at the blocking, how can you judge that? Now, to go on with 7-on-7, when that period was going on with the O-line and D-line, Drew hit Vincent Brown. Vincent Brown's the oldest veteran on the team now, 27 years as far as the receiving core. It was a nice catch. He made a nice catch across the middle. So almost every practice, minicamp and OTAs, Vincent Brown has had. I thought he came out great that first OTA, but he's always had two or three catches. Now, to me, and I think this is where we're going to be better defensively, I think our linebacking core overall, because of the experience, I think going to be better in pass coverage. And this guy in particular, now he's not perfect, but very active, that being Craig Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
He's the kid from North Texas, five-year veteran we got from the Cleveland Browns. Nice pass defense. One time he was all over Josh Hill down the middle. And it was
is that the one he broke up at the end?
No, this is right at the beginning. This is right in the 7-on-7. No, because he broke one up at the end too.
Right.
But this is at the beginning. It had been 25, 30 yards down the field. It was a nice pass by Drew, but just great defense. You know, when all said and done by Craig Robinson. Looking at Dennis Allen, I think sometimes you want him to show more emotion. Well, Deke, he did show some emotion today, kind of Greg Williams-like.
Yeah, I heard him over there on the other side.
Well, he expressed himself and dropped the you-know-what bomb.
Yeah, quit walking around. Yeah, quit walking around. Yeah, yeah. Everybody's
like
blank
walking around.
Get
going, you know, the word I'm thinking of.
Get some urgency in
your
step.
Yeah, so I was like, whoa, I haven't heard him say no. So he's not going to be as vocal as Greg Williams, obviously, but no, he's going to be an emotional type coach, so that was good to see. Now, the first pick, seems like we can't catch a break getting an interception. Now, this kid, a rookie, Jeff Schutenmeier, if I'm pronouncing that right, I don't know, the rookie out of North Carolina, the free agent. He dropped a pick on Grayson. Now, I think Grayson would have got sacked before he threw it, but still, he did not finish and catch the ball. Then they went with team Red Zone Deke. You know what? He's been getting a lot of reps with the one, the kid from Canada that's friends with Delvin Bro, Eric Harris.
Yep.
On the sideline, had a good pass breakup. I think at the end, he also dropped it in a session. You might say he was trying to bat it down because it was the last play. I don't know. Looks like to me he was trying to catch it, and he mm-hmm. didn't catch it. But looking at that team red zone on the sideline, good pass breakup by Eric Harris. Breeze, again, Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas came up big in the red zone team. He caught, like, it looked like a 10-yard slant type route, and then Breeze hit Willie Snead in the flat
mm-hmm.
route plus 8. So you can see who he has confidence in. And then he hit Michael Thomas. I thought it was the play of that red zone team of about a 15-yard touchdown, Breeze to Michael Thomas. Now, I thought overall –
going back to the team, though, on that portion when Drew hit Josh Hill in the seam, it was one – I don't know if it was Drew again, but it was one and almost in the same route in the seam. I don't know if it was a tight end or a receiver, but right at the very end, the linebacker, he didn't turn his head – but it was like he watched the receiver's eyes and batted it down at the end.
That was Robertson.
That was
Robertson.
Okay, that was him that play.
Yeah, he made plays
because like he must have been judging his eyes because he didn't have time to turn his head around.
No, he was looking at the receiver.
Yeah, that was good instincts there.
Yeah, he did that on Josh Hill. That's what I'm saying. It would have been a nice pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, you want to see your running backs have the capability to run 20, 30 yards down the field. And now, Deke, looking at still with that team red zone, I thought – overall, both Grayson and McCown was off. I think mm-hmm. this might have been Grayson's poorest practice. We've seen four now that I've seen him. There was right in that team red zone, Alden Darby. This was probably the easiest interception that was dropped. I don't know who he was in camp with last year, but he's from Arizona State. He was a free agent last season. He dropped an interception, and he was really ticked off at himself. Alden Darby dropped the interception from Grayson. R.J. Harris, we got to mention his name. McCown hit R.J. Harris for about a 10-yard touchdown in the red zone. So it seems like that's a guy that I don't know if he'll make plays or if he'll be another practice squad guy, but it seems like he's showing up every practice, given the opportunity. Indeed, going on with the team. Now, Fleener was in there. I think this is the first one maybe caught, like, big play, I noticed. McCown to Fleener, plus 20 yards. Now, this might have been the catch of the day, and it was by Mark Ingram. I think it was a back shoulder, nice catch, about 25 yards, line up at wide out. And, you know, you think you're going to run a fade or vertical route, and Ingram, turned his body and just great hands, a 25-yard gain. That looked very nice. And then on a running play, a cadet, nice cut, 10 yards. So looking on the running plays, I would say as far as vision, I'd say Hightower, Murphy, and Cadet had the best runs. And not, like I said, they're not tackling, but it looks like it would have been close to 10-yard type gains. And showing nice vision.
All right, hold tight. We'll come back and get some more of Bobby's Take 2 at practice. 260-1870. You can text us at 870-870. WWL News Time is 431. It's time for First News. Let's go to Chris Miller. With the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert breaking down today's Saints practice. Day 2 of minicamp tomorrow, 11 o'clock practice. Gates open 45 minutes prior to that. Scheduled to go from 11 to 1:20 tomorrow and also on Thursday. We're at the point of practice now where rain forced us inside, heavy rain, but luckily so because not soon after we got inside with the rain, heavy thunder and lightning
yes.
came in the area, so we would have to go inside anyway. So, Cajun Cannon, we're in the middle of team drills going in, second stint of team drills inside.
Yeah, we're in, before we started, 2 minute. This is against Grayson, but, everyone's trying to scramble, but I was hiding under the forklift, deal they got where they
right.
fell. And I'm trying to take notes, but my notes don't get wet. I'm looking through the crack. I tell you what, it might have been one of the greatest interceptions I've ever seen that wouldn't have counted. What I mean by this, it was P.J. Williams, and I'm going to get on him, because then later in practice, he dropped an easy one.
Oh, I know.
This catch he made, I think it might have been one of the best catches I've seen up close and personal. I was like, whoa, how did he catch that ball? And like, and it's raining. Did he have stick him? I think he caught this with one hand. It was so athletic, it was like scary. But obviously, he couldn't drag both feet fit to count. But I said, nice one-handed interception, truly at a high level. Shows the athletic ability of P.J. Williams, but he was out of bounds. I was just glad a defensive back caught a ball, and it didn't hit the ground. So that was outstanding. So if you can do that in the field of play, this would be on top 10 ESPN, like a highlight type reel. And then they went inside, and obviously the VIPs and the media and all got to be a part of that, and hopefully the weather cooperates throughout practice tomorrow that the fans can stay the whole time. So they worked on situational stuff, 2 minute, to benefit both the offense and the defense. Now, the highlight of the 2 minute in that first drill, and I actually on Peyton about this, but really he expects all their running backs to be able to contribute at this level, is when they flex him out as a wide receiver. And if Drew sees a linebacker covering a wide receiver, I think he's confident that the running back, not wide receiver, when the linebacker is covering a running back,
mm-hmm.
he's confident that the running back is going to win, even though the running back's lining up at a wide receiver position, that he likes that matchup. And that first 2 minute, it was the Hightower show. And it wasn't because Sean is utilizing Hightower over Mark Ingram in that role. It was just, I guess, his turn to be up. But Brees to Hightower, that one drive, he targeted him 4 times. He had 3 receptions, 1 for 20 yards, a nice back shoulder catch. He looked very smooth, that being Tim Hightower, then a couple of 8-yarders. And then Brees to Willie Snead, they driving down the field 2 minute, plus 20. And then Brees, great coverage by P.J. Williams, but then he drops the interception. And it was against Drew, and he dropped the interception in his gut. So that was very discouraging, but P.J. didn't pout. He came back, had a nice pass defending, after that. So P.J. Williams, to me, he looks so much more confident compared to where he was at this time last year, where he was learning what to do. I don't know how smart he is, Deke, but right now I feel like, and I think Damian Swan might be a little more football savvy than him as far as football smarts, knowing his assignment. Well, I think P.J. Williams now understands what he's doing, so he's obviously playing faster. So he had a nice pass defending. And then again, Breeze to Josh Hill on a 20-yard crossing route. But then he got Fleener involved. Breeze to Fleener plus eight. Then Breeze went back to Hightower. Now, on the incompletion, he threw Hightower four balls. One of them was incomplete. What it was great covers by James Laurinaitis. Good pass defense. You want to see that by your linebackers. And then also later, Deke, that's the play you're talking about. Robinson, good pass defense.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm talking about the, it was almost like you were going to, oh, here he's getting ready to put it in and go upfield. And, I mean, right, he judged his eyes, I mean, perfectly. Because Robinson did not turn around. And he knocked the ball right out the middle of his hands. I'm talking about at this the very last second.
And you know why it was critical? But then I'm going to get to the point. With
I was more impressed with how he judged his eyes, Bobby, because it was almost like you had to be looking at the ball coming to knock it out at that point of time of the ball coming in on the route.
Well, the clock's moving. They're going down the field. They're inside the 10-yard line. It was like second and goal from the eight. Laurinaitis, a good pass defense. This was third and goal. Deke, on the eight-yard line, I want to say with about 9 seconds left. What are you going to do? Robertson, that's when the linebacker, Craig Robertson, came with a good pass defense. But guess what? It's 3 seconds left, fourth and eight, fourth and goal from the eight-yard line. Who you think won?
Dolphins.
Yep. Breeze to Snead, touchdown. Now, I see, I don't know, like, but we've seen this before. We got to get after the opposing quarterback, Drew. Didn't feel any pressure, hung in there, and Willie Snead beat P.J. Williams for an 8-yard touchdown in the back of the end zone. So, you know, that's the kind of thing where, man, fourth and eight is on the line of the game. You gotta disrupt the quarterback, or most quarterbacks will burn you. Now, Gracie comes in there in 2 minutes. Now, he hit Human for plus eight, but then Deke, they were getting after him. And this looked like this would have been legit sacks. Stupar, number 54, the linebacker, I think, is going to be a lot like Craig Robinson. Nathan Stupar, the veteran, ended up having a sack. Now, Grayson hit Lambert, number 81. That's the other Ball State receiver, Deke, the rookie, a free agent. For about a plus 30-yard gain, it was more yak yards after the catch. I think the defense over-pursued. Then Stephon Anthony had a sack on Grayson. So I think, see, Grayson can look at the film and see, like, Drew now how quickly he's getting rid of the ball and then realize, okay, maybe I got to know where I can get rid of it quicker because he got sacked a couple of times in that two-minute drill. So they put Breeze back in. Spiller's now the running back. Same thing what they did to Hightower. Breeze to Spiller, plus 10 yards. Now Fleener gets into the action. Now this is one of Fleener's better plays. Down the middle, Robinson really had good coverage. I think it was just a good play. Breeze to Fleener, plus 30 down the middle. And it finally Cooks. We ain't called Brandon Cook's name too much. And hit Brandon Cooks about a 10-yard gain. And then that's when I asked Sean Payton about the scenario. Okay, the offense got to go to the end zone. Time's running out. Breeze missed Coleman, and Breeze was really mad at himself. A 20-yard line would have been a touchdown. Then he missed Cooks. No touchdown, out of bounds. But it wasn't because what the defense was doing, unbelievable. It was just Drew missed, and you don't see him miss too often. So now McCown finally got a chance to end our practice in the 2 minute. And Deke, he hit number 85, Jared Dangerfield from Western Kentucky, a 12-yard gain. Then he hit Reggie Ball, number 11. You know, these are all guys getting opportunity. A one-year guy out of San Diego, University of San Diego. But then Tull, I think it would have been a double sack.
Right.
You know, we're talking about Tull pass rush. Davis Tull and Stupar, I think they had a great chance to sack McCown at that time. And then McCown hung in there, though. He hit Prater. That's the kid. He was trying out last year with us from Northwest for about a 15-yard gain. Then Forbath missed the 35-yard field goal. Come on, Deke.
You got to make a
35-yard field goal.
Right.
And then to end practice, Breeze to Fleener. Again, Fleener got more active, plus 12. And then they threw a Hail Mary last
Hail
play.
Mary, yeah.
Jump ball.
Up by 6, 3 seconds left.
Yeah, and then so you got and then Harris, now he might say, oh, I was just trying to knock it down, but to me.
No, I think the receivers kind of backed off in that one.
But then they don't want a collision. But,
right.
But I don't know. It looked like Eric Harris tried to catch it, and he didn't. And he batted. But you might say, oh, batted it down. It looked like he dropped the pick to me. But that was the last play. And that's how practice closed, but very competitive 2-minute drill. I can tell you, the defense played a whole lot better today than they did the third OTA we watched where they were getting smoked by the offense. But that wasn't the case today.
All right, we'll come back and get to Mike and Romero. Got some text here. You two can jump in the conversation as well. 260-1870. You can text us at 870-870. And welcome back to Sports Talk. Marrero for Mike on line one. Mike, thank you for calling WWL.
Hey, gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
Hey, okay. Mike.
Hey, Bobby, I got a couple questions for you. You kind of answered them partially, but I'm really interested in what you think about Tull and Eric Harris. And do we have any 6'4" or taller receivers that are showing up?
And yeah, the tall receiver would be Michael Thomas, the draft pick, 6'3". Now, to me, Brandon Coleman, even though he's 6'6", it looks like he plays like he's 5'11". But I'd say the tall receiver showing up would be Michael Thomas, the second-round draft pick out of Ohio State. Now, he's another big receiver, but, I mean, he'll make a play now and then. Kyle Prater, he's 6'5", from Northwest, and he's kind of a practice squad guy, but to say, if I'm looking at the Colson replacement big receiver, that right now it's not even close, it would be Michael Thomas.
And what about David Tull and Eric Harris?
Yeah, I tell you what, Davis Tull, his instincts, well, we've seen him with pads on in training camp, he can rush the passer. Now his shoulders, the way Sean Payton was, he mentioned his name as far as to be in that rotation with Guachem and all, now that Kakaha's hurt and they count on him, they're going to give him every opportunity. Now, Davis Tull is one of those guys you say, well, man, he's little. And what I mean by little is a pass rusher, but you could say Von Miller's little, what I mean by that. When he's like 6'3", 240, where he can be a nightmare at times to big old tackles who hate those kind of quick guys. They always go around them. They're not necessarily bull rushing them, but doing different moves to beat the outside tackles. And I think Davis Tull has that ability. And it'll be interesting to see what he does in training camp because they're going to give him every opportunity. And Deke, who was the other one?
I don't even say Eric Harris.
Eric. Now, Eric Harris, the safety. Deke, I'll let you to comment right quick on that because let me tell you, Eric Harris been running with a lot with the ones.
Kenny Vaccaro was asked in the locker room about, you know, the player Eric Harris, and the first place he said stud, that he's playing like a stud.
And Delvin Bro's in his corner. He knows him from Canada.
Which, like I said to me, you know, I mean, I'm excited and that's good, but I try to look at the glass half full instead of half empty, but I also was like, I mean, you know, this is – people get the right opportunity at the right time, but is that also a sign of how bad we are too, though?
Well, in the back end, because you look all of a sudden, you truly have two diamonds in the rough when you think.
Yeah, I mean, Delvin a diamond Bro in the rough ain't supposed to happen every year.
Well, you can't hit the lottery twice.
No.
With Delvin Bro and Eric Harris, but maybe, I don't know, Deke.
Hey,
I mean,
maybe so. Maybe looking at starting, you know, two in the backfield there. You know, because you know Delvin Bro's going to be a starting corner for sure. All right, he's Bobby Hebert and Deke Bellavia. This is WWL.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.